The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for Increased Understanding of East and Southeast Asia. Funding for Detroit coverage on The Takeaway is supported in part by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation.
President Obama laid out his deficit reduction plan during a speech yesterday morning from the White House Rose Garden. And this was an Obama that we haven't really seen all that much of, one who was willing to say uncategorically he will veto any bill that tries to reduce the deficit through spending cuts alone. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell called the plan a massive tax hike with phantom savings. And as we've said very often, other members of the GOP have labeled it class warfare. We're going to explore that idea later on this hour. But first, we want to dig behind the sound bites and do a little fact checking. And joining us is Todd Zwillick, our Washington correspondent. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Celeste.
All right. So let's get into the nitty gritty here. And let's begin with just one simple statement that the president made. Take a listen.
Congress should pass this bill knowing that every proposal is fully paid for.
Is that true?
Well, it is true, and it's especially true because the president is proposing to do not only his deficit reduction plan, but his jobs plan, you know, the American Jobs Act that he wants passed, in the context of the super committee, and not as a standalone bill all by itself. And remember, the joint committee, the super committee, whatever you want to call it, their job is to cut the deficit, is to cut the debt by a minimum of $1.5 trillion. The president is saying, go bigger than that. Let's go $3 trillion. So in that context, yes, their only charge legally is to do things that cut the debt. So they're not really allowed to freely spend any money. In that sense, it is paid for. But there's something that's interesting about that American Jobs Act. If you look at the jobs plan part of this, it's true that the president is proposing to have it paid for over 10 years. And usually we talk about the 10-year budget window. But if they spend the kind of money that the president wants to spend on infrastructure and building schools and making sure that cops and teachers can stay hired, that would actually increase the debt in the first year or two. The money gets spent right away. The pay-fors, the tax increases or the cuts elsewhere that pay for it, they get stretched over several years. So right at the beginning, it actually does increase the debt to get the jobs goosed, and then it gets paid for over the long term. So yes, paid for, but not quite right away.
All right. We're speaking with Todd Zwillick, our Washington correspondent.
Did he just say jobs goosed?
He did. Well, that's better than goose's
get him going.
Geese with jobs, right? Anyhow, we have questions from one of our listeners, and one listener wrote it about the interview we did yesterday with Grover Norquist. Robert Brinchek wrote this on our Facebook page. I would love to understand how a contractor would create more jobs, hire people, buy things, etc., with a tax cut instead of an actual contract for a government project. How is cutting infrastructure projects going to create jobs in the near term?
Well, it's a good question, and the issue there is whether tax cuts are stimulative or direct government spending is stimulative. The answer is both can be stimulative. It depends on what kind of tax cut you have. Right now, as part of the jobs package and the deficit reduction package, they're toying with the idea of payroll tax cuts, giving employers breaks from taxes or tax incentives to hire. Those can be stimulative. They absolutely can be. What can also be stimulative, he talks about, hiring or buying things. They also want to make the tax situation better for buying equipment. You know, they can make the write-offs for buying equipment and equipment wearing out. They can make that easier. So the employer might be more likely to buy that tractor. That's not necessarily a job stimulator, but it might stimulate the economy by buying that tractor, that piece of equipment that you wouldn't otherwise buy. However, he's right. If this person is a contractor who's a paver or works on roads, there is no better stimulus than a direct government contract. Why? That's demand. I can give you a tax cut, Celeste, but if there's no demand for what you make, you're still not going to hire because there's nobody to buy what you make. But a direct government contract on a road project for a guy who does paving, there's no better stimulus than that. The problem is that's money you have to spend. And again, adds to the deficit in the short term until you can pay for it over the more extended period.
All right. Well, let's talk about this whole issue of confrontation versus compromise. And there's been a lot of discussion about this is the Obama in campaign mode. This is Obama ready to confront the Republicans. And that seems to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, to be true in that What we're seeing in this deficit reduction plan is he's talking about cuts to the military, obviously these increased taxes on the wealthiest Americans, but he basically, for the most part, protects Medicare and Social Security, which is the exact opposite of GOP priorities.
You can look at the president's plan as the starkest possible policy contrast to the Ryan budget. And that's really what it stands in sharp contrast to, and that's on purpose, because the Democrats have been telling the White House, and the White House has been forecasting for some time, that they want to run on almost exactly what the opposite of what the Ryan budget did. The Ryan budget had tax cuts or tax status quo over the next 10 to 12 years, but made fundamental changes to Medicare, not just in the value of benefits, but in the structure of Medicare. Basically changed it from a defined benefit, you know exactly what you're going to get in terms of your benefits, to a defined contribution. They're going to change it so that the government can control its costs and your benefits may go down as healthcare costs increase. The Obama plan, you're right, Celeste, is almost fundamentally opposite. Medicare fundamentally stays the same. The social contract says that the amount that we spend on Social Security and Medicare is not really going to change. We have to toy with the other parts of the economy and really try to control healthcare costs elsewhere, not by directly cutting Medicare. But there is another part of the Affordable Care Act. Remember the health care bill from a couple years ago, the last big knockdown, dragout fight?
How could we
Republicans
forget?
Call it Obamacare. There's something in there. There's a board created in there that hasn't gone into effect yet because it's a little bit below the radar, but it's really controversial. Democrats are relying on a special board that's supposed to review Medicare policy for cost effectiveness and then implement those in Medicare. Now, Republicans hate it. They call it rationing. You know that. That's their buzzword. And Democrats say it is rationing, but it's rationing based on science, based on what works and what's cost effective. That little thing is in the law. That little thing is controversial and a little bit below the radar because it's not even formed yet. But that thing is supposed to really control costs in the long term. And on a policy level, that's the fundamental difference.
We got to get to the last biggest fact check of all, Todd, which is, can this bill, either the deficit reduction plan or the American Jobs Bill, can they become law?
Well, I'll tell you one part of it. The president says over and over and over, Congress should pass this bill. What does he say? Right away. That's his little flourish. The answer is no, it's not going to pass right away. And I know that because even Democrats in the Senate say they're not even going to get to this until well into October. They even have their own ideas that they want to put on the floor that aren't necessarily the president's. Can versions of it get through? That's going to depend on how good of a job the president does selling it, putting pressure on members of Congress. But the right away part? Nope, not going to happen.
Todd Zbilek, Washington correspondent. Thanks as always, Todd.
My pleasure.
We're going to talk more about the class warfare of the political rhetoric going on right now later this hour.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.